For the past several weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. You and I live in a world today that certainly we see the reality of all of the spiritual battles that we face in life and that we fight in life. My prayer for these past weeks and for the next few weeks will be not only that they would inform us, but they would remind us, that they would encourage us, that we really realize in the Christian life that there is a battle that we are fighting and facing. It's a battle for eternity, and the only victory we can have is the victory that we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning I want to preach on our struggle is real. Our struggle is real. And I want to deal with the topic that every one of us faces on a continual basis. We're talking about this struggle that we have in life between our flesh that we live in and the spirit that resides within our heart if we know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. John MacArthur said, "The spirit-led life is a life of conflict because it's in constant battle, combat with the old ways of the flesh that continue to tempt and to seduce the believer." Grant Richardson said, "A spiritual Titanic tug of war takes place in every believer. The non-Christian does not have that same kind of struggle, for he is nothing but flesh. He has no other reference point. Once a person comes to know Christ, he enters a significant spiritual struggle." Now, that struggle this morning actually involves three enemies that each of us as a Christian face. Number one, we face the world. Number two, we face the flesh. And number three, we face the devil. And just as there is a holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there's an unholy Trinity, and it's the world, the flesh, and the devil. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and he speaks to us about three enemies we face. Notice he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And then in verse 3, Paul says, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Now, in that passage, Paul is speaking to these now Christians, speaking about following the course of this world. Secondly, following the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, and the passions, thirdly, of our flesh. So as Christians, you and I face the world, we face our flesh, and we also face the wiles of the devil out there. Now, while the devil is certainly a great enemy, and the Bible says, as we have seen in past days, that Satan is like a roaring lion. He is seeking whom he may devour. Now, while the devil is certainly our adversary, he's the great enemy out there. The Word of God says he's the prince of the power of the air. And as he walks around like a roaring lion, he seeks to find people that he can destroy. And he certainly wants to destroy Christians' lives. And though Satan is a formidable enemy, our flesh is also a great enemy that we have today. Every one of us here this morning can identify that. The Apostle Paul, perhaps the greatest of all Christians, because of the life that he lived before he met Christ on the road of Damascus, persecuting and consenting to the death of Christians, Paul turned his life completely around when he met Christ, and his life was never the same again. He spent his entire life telling people, pointing people to Jesus. Paul writes to the Romans, the Roman Christians, in Romans chapter 7, 15 to 25. And in this passage, he gives one of the most honest, passionate confessions about his own personal war that he has between his flesh and between the Spirit of God that lives within his heart. It's a personal testimony, and you and I can learn how to effectively battle against our flesh and live in victory. Read with me, if you will, this morning from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 25 in the New International Version. Paul said, remember, he's confessing. He is speaking now to you and to me about his own struggles of living life with the Holy Spirit living in his heart and yet still living in a fleshly body. Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. I want to pause there for just a minute. Can you identify with Paul this morning? Let me tell you, he is one of the greatest of all Christians. And Paul said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Then he continues on in his confession in verse 16. He says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Notice he says in verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he gives the answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. There are three things that I want you to take away this morning. They're in your bulletin. I pinned them there for you. Number one, we face a confusing situation. We face a confusing situation. Let me explain that. Paul has just expressed to us the confusion that many of us face every day in our Christian life. Sometimes we don't even understand why we struggle to do those things that fall so easily and cause the temptation to come, and then we do things wrong. He begins by saying, I do not understand my own actions. Wow. What an amazing confession from the Apostle Paul. You hear children say that all the time. Let me tell you, they'll throw a rock through a window. They'll break something that you think is priceless and cannot be replaced, or even they may break something that's very insignificant, or they'll hit their sibling. And when you ask them, why did you do that? They will give you the one dependable answer, I don't know. How many of us as adults do the very same thing? I don't know. Well, why, you know, I don't know about you, but I ask myself the question most every day of my life, why did you do that? And then I go, I don't know. All of us, we do things that we really don't want to do. And Paul is telling, he's saying, that is true with every one of us. There are times in life that we do something just downright stupid. And when somebody asks us why we did it, the only thing we can come up with is, I don't know. I don't know why I did that. Or, why do you say what you say? And the only answer we can say is, I don't know why I said that. Why do you go to the places you go to when you know there's temptation there? Why do you cheat on that assignment out there? Why do you make the deals with people that you make? Why did you break your promises? Why did you log in on that website? Why did you lie to your parents? Why did you lose your temper today? And the only answer most of us would ever come up with is, I really don't know why I did that. And you see, we always want to say, the devil made me do it. Now, some of you are not old enough to know Flip Wilson, but Flip Wilson, I see Daryl does, but he would always say, the devil made me do it. And so oftentimes, we want to blame the devil for everything when really the flesh that we live in is one of our enemies. Let me say this. So here's the problem. Here's the problem we face. We want to blame it on the devil. It's not our fault. Evil forces around us that cause me to stumble. Well, you know, we want to use those lines all the time, but you can't blame it on the devil all the time. You've got to realize you're battling this personal flesh that you live in. In fact, in the book of James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15, James says that each one of us, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Now, here's the application. Here's Paul's confession. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And so Paul is confessing his struggle within his own soul. He realized there's a continual war going on inside of his heart. And it's the struggle between his flesh and the Holy Spirit that lives in his heart. He hears two voices. One calls him this way and the other one calls him that way. And so Paul says, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Let me draw a conclusion for you this morning from this first confession. Knowing and doing are two different things. Let me tell you, you can know the right thing, but still do the wrong thing. You can know the right thing, but still do the wrong thing. Let me tell you, knowledge will never save anyone. And here's something we all need to remember. Even if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not as good as you think you are, and you're worse than you'd really like to admit. Hello? Hey, I've signed the dotted line up here. I'm on the first line, okay? So if any of you identify, you can sign in under me. Let me tell you. So first of all, we have a confusing situation. We do things that we don't know why we do them. And yet we hate what we do sometimes because it's not the thing that we ought to do or the thing that God tells us we should do. And so we face a confusing situation with this flesh that we live in and the Holy Spirit of God that lives within our heart. But there's a second thing. Not only do we face a confusing situation about doing things we really don't want to do that we later regret and wishing we had done the right thing to begin with, but secondly, we fight a frustrating battle. You and I will never be perfect in this life. And let me say this, the only group of people that worship here at New Hope are imperfect people, amen? Pastor, first of all, we're imperfect. And we will not be perfect until we get to heaven one of these days. Paul explains this daily battle, this daily fight, it's this struggle. And he writes to the church at Galatia. And in Galatians chapter 5, 16, Paul shares this. He says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. Paul says, you want victory over not doing these things that you hate? Then he says, walk by the Spirit. And then notice what Paul said in Romans 7, verse 18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. Did you get that? Paul, one of the greatest Christians of all time, Paul said, for I know. He doesn't say, I think. He says, I know. That good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. So notice what he says in verse 21 to 23. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Here, Paul is saying this. He means that we all have a sin nature, that we all struggle with sin on a daily basis. And believe me, it's a frustrating battle. Paul says it's a war. Now, there's always somebody that will say, well, Pastor, I've gained that victory over my flesh. I don't even struggle with it anymore. I've just overcome all of those desires and those temptations, and I'm walking with Jesus faithfully, and I don't even stumble. Well, there's a biblical word for that, baloney. I'm confident that's Hebrew, aren't you? If somebody tells you that they no longer struggle with their flesh, you better check their pulse. Make sure that their heart's still beating and that their blood's still pumping, because all of us in this room this morning, all of us listening out there this morning, all of us struggle with the flesh until the day God takes us home. You see, it's part of the human condition. Even the Apostle Paul faced it. I love the story I read about Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest of all preachers, the prince of preachers. Many years ago, he was speaking at a conference along with another great speaker. And this other great speaker gets up and he publicly proclaims that Christians should reach a place of sinless perfection where they no longer struggle because they are perfected in the love of God. Well, the speaker went on and he spoke all about how wonderful it was. He had overcome all of these things. He was living in sinless perfection. Spurgeon didn't say a word. But the very next morning, they all came to breakfast. Spurgeon waited a few minutes before he got to the breakfast table. He crept up behind the speaker that had said he was living in sinless perfection, and Spurgeon poured a jug of milk right down his head. Spurgeon said, I learned real quick he had that old sinful nature. Now, I hope you won't go do that to anybody today. I don't suggest you do that at all. You and I, first of all, we face a confusing situation. We're spirit, we're flesh. They're warring against each other. The things I know I should do are not the things I do. The things I shouldn't do are the things I do, and those are the things I hate. And so it's a confusing situation because it's always in conflict. It's always in struggle. But secondly, I fight a frustrating battle, and that battle is an everyday battle with sin. But there's a third thing this morning. We find a promising answer. I love this. In verses 24 and 25, Paul, one of the greatest of all Christians that ever lived, Paul, in his raw, human, passionate, open confession, says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" And then in verse 25, he gives the answer to the victory that we have, this promising answer. We find a promising answer here today. Paul said, "Thanks be to God who delivers me." How does he do that? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul says, "So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." I love this. Let me tell you, I'm so thankful that Paul didn't finish in verse 23. If he had, it would be hopeless in the struggle between our flesh and the spirit. Instead, he leaves us with a note of hope, a note of joy, a note of promise. And about 98% of this passage deals with Paul's struggle with sin. And just about 2% of it gives the answer that we need to have victory over sin in this flesh. Notice he gives a word of honesty. Let me ask you a question. Are you honest with God this morning? Are you honest with God? Paul was. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Notice he gets honest with God. He doesn't hold back. You see, he's a Christian man, and he's saying, "I'm a wretched man." Some people say that Paul describes himself in such awful terms that he surely couldn't be speaking about his own Christian life. But let me tell you, you and I know from God's word that it's a fallen world and this is fallen flesh. And we are still in this fallen world with this fallen flesh. I like what the psalmist understood in the 130th Psalm, verse 3 and 4. He said, "If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you." The reason many of us never grow as Christians is because we hear the truth intellectually. We hear it in our head, but we won't let it get close enough to hurt us. You see, we put up our shields. We're good at deflecting the truth, and the truth hurts. Let me tell you, in this life, what we need to be is honest, honest before God, honest. "Oh, wretched man that I am." Paul said, "I'm a wretched man." Paul said, "I sin." Paul falls short, even though he knows Christ. But he also not only gives a word of honesty, he gives a word of humility. He says, "Who will rescue me?" Notice he wasn't self-seeking, self-serving. Paul is saying, "Who is it that's going to rescue me from being this wretched man that I am?" Paul realizes that he can't win the battle on his own, that the struggle he faces, that he has to depend upon someone. Now, there's only three things that you and I can do with our sin. Number one, we can just deny it and live as if we don't. Many people try to do that. Or you can try to deal with your sin on your own. but that doesn't work either. Or thirdly, you can just be honest with humility and admit it and just turn it over to God. God, you know today, this morning, before I get out of bed, there's going to be something that's going to come my way, and my sinful flesh is going to give in to this. But God, I know there's victory through your power. I can't do it. I can't live the Christian life. But Father, you can live it through me, through the Holy Spirit. Paul is so raw with his confession. He's honest, he's humble, but let me tell you, he also gives a word of hope. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. There's the answer right there. It's the victory that you and I have in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let me tell you, life is tough. The poet said, life is real and life is earnest. You be real and I'll be earnest. Well, he didn't quite say all of that. But let me tell you, life is tough, isn't it? Life is hard. Life is difficult. Life is a challenge. Life is a struggle. Life is a battle every day. And if you and I are going to have hope and joy, happiness in our lives, then we've got to allow it to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Let me tell you, there is victory today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 8, verse 1 and 2 as we close. Paul says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. I'm so grateful this morning that Jesus Christ is our victor. He is our victory. Mona sang last Sunday evening one of my favorite songs among the other 100,000 that I have. But she sang that song, there is a Savior who's forgiven you. He lights your way. Are there burdens in your heart? Is your past just a memory that binds you? Let me tell you this morning, don't feel forsaken. Don't feel forgotten. Don't feel defeated. Let me tell you, every time you fall, you just have to get yourself back up and dust off your pants and say, God, I blew it once again. Help me to do better. Let your Holy Spirit lead me, guide me, use me, help me, mold me into what you would have me to be. All of us are pictures of an imperfected world. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you stand as we pray together?